Hey.
Hello, Nathan. How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah, back in London now, so
Oh, not. Where were you before?
So I was visiting Canada, because Aidan's in like Victoria near Vancouver.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
like
Wait, I thought the
far
whole thing
west.
was London.
No, so most of the like there's an engineer it's kind of weird. There's like an engineer in Glasgow in Scotland, and then there's me in London. Damien, the CEO, is in like outside of London, like near Brighton, if you've ever, I don't know how
Okay,
that,
yeah.
and then we have one engineer in Egypt and one in Switzerland, so it's
Wow.
pretty
Yeah.
there's like kind of like EMEA, like Europe Middle East, I guess, and then there's
For
like
sure.
West Coast Canada, so
That's crazy. Yeah, that's very remote. Remote work.
How have you
Good. Yeah, just same old, just
been?
not too much excited. I moved into a new place.
Oh, sweet.
But yeah, other than that, like same old stuff.
Nice, nice,
Yeah.
nice. That's fun. Are you settled in, or is it all just chaos?
Dude, it's been slow. I just got like a bed frame because I was just like sleeping on a mattress on the floor.
Dude, you're a meme.
The classic.
Did you get a lamp or a chair yet, or just the
No,
mattress?
I don't have a lamp.
He's
I
got
have
Voice AI, he doesn't need a
a chair. No, but I do have a bed frame and a chair and a couch, so I'm pretty
Okay,
much set
nice.
now. No, but yeah, it's been slow, but we're working on it slowly.
That's awesome. That's
Yeah.
awesome. I love it. By the way, I'm recording this just because I want to save, if that's okay. I
Cool,
shouldn't.
yeah, for sure.
Because I the last few calls I've just been like half the time I've been like logged in on the wrong Zoom account, and then I'm like, oh
Oh
shit,
no.
hang on 1 second, let me just come back. So anyway, it's all that's going, if that's okay. And
For
yeah, so is it okay if I just so basically what I wanted to do is just like show you some of the stuff that we've been pulling together, like and this is like, sorry, this is like from what people have said, these are some of the themes that have come out, and I just wanted to get like your reaction to it, to
Yeah,
just
for
start
sure.
to figure out like, and it's very this can be a bit chaotic about how we've put this down, because it's really hard to say like, oh, this is the big theme and this isn't. So anyway, without further ado, I will just share it. Okay. So I know that says four, but these are some of the ones that we've been finding, and I just want to like get your reaction to some of these.
I think that's definitely accurate. It's kind of, I mean, they're for like the conversations feeling natural part. I'd say like a lot of things like revolve around that, but it's just like a super hard thing. But it's accurate. It's just like a very wide net, I guess.
And do you think that, so if we start with like pains, would you say that this is accurate on like your top three or four pains, like, and does it match your ranking?
Yes, I think that now it's shifted a good amount in the last month. Because I implemented this thing called Crisp that basically like amplifies the signal, or it removes the background signals, and kind of helps the speech to text engine pick up on voice signals and like transcribe lower quality audio. So that's actually fixed a lot of stuff for us and a lot of problems that we were having. Oh, sorry, it's Crisp with a K. Sorry.
Yeah, I've heard really, really good things about Crisp.
Yeah, it's I would highly, highly recommend. It definitely, I don't know how I felt about it before. Like I'd heard some good things, but it definitely exceeded my expectations. Especially with our use case, because a lot of people are calling in like on the move where there is a lot of background noise. But I'm definitely aware that not all use cases have like a lot of background noise, or like people calling in with background noise. But yeah, number two is
So that might not be number one now, basically. Transcription
yeah,
throughput.
I would say that definitely would. I mean, I don't even know if I would call that a huge. I mean, I'd still maybe call that a pain, but below the turn taking. So yeah, like on the bottom of the list, because it still does happen, but now it's like usually just the person's talking super quietly. And I'm actually investigating some stuff with, I think it's AI acoustics, if y'all have heard
Oh yeah, we're talking to them actually. Yeah, we're
that.
looking to implement. Yeah.
But they, because Crisp only removes background signals, whereas AI acoustics removes background signals and amplifies the actual voice. So on issues where people are talking quietly, in theory, it'll like amplify that and still be able to like extract a signal from it. So that I would assume that would pretty much like solve the transcription issues that we're having. But that and like keyword prompting with DeepGram too. But yeah, I definitely don't, I wouldn't say like as of now it's a huge issue that I'm like worried about.
Super helpful. What would you say is your number one?
Yeah, or were you asking me or Aiden?
Sorry, you Nathan. Yeah, what's your
Yeah, just making sure. I would still definitely say evals is like the biggest thing, because we implemented DeepGram Flux, which is like a, I'm sure you're aware, but it's like a speech to text with a turn-taking model built into the speech to text layer. And I implemented that, and like we're using it for a couple of our production clients just because it's a sandbox URL and we don't want to like just put it on everyone just in case it goes down. But we have it on like some low priority customers just to like see how it works in the real world. And it's just like we had a, I don't think it was due to Flux, but we had some regression in the voice stack, and the our database was just like locking, and no one, it's been like the whole weekend basically, and no one really knows why. And it's something like, I don't know, it's something like async related. I think something's blocking the event loop, but no one really knows. So I think like observability into what's going on in the voice stack is still the number one thing, which I mean, this is more like traditional software engineering, I guess, but there's still like elements of the voice stack, and there's some things that are like fully voice stack. Like evals into pronunciation would be something that's like fully voice stack. But yeah, the observability stuff is just like such a huge pain.
Yeah, what have you tried there actually on the observability?
So we use this thing called Hamming. It's just like we hired someone to take care of it and it didn't work out. So he like passed it on to someone else, and it's just like the main, I guess we're just like hammering it out And there's like a couple kinks, like with Hamming, the idea is like you have a bunch of these agents running in parallel that are just like stress testing your thing. And we have like text to speech concurrency limits. So when we're running these tests, like it obviously like hits the concurrency limits pretty quickly. So yeah, there's just like a couple kinks like that that have slowed down the development of that, but
Interesting.
yeah, that's the only thing we've done so far though. And then I want to get us on Deep Eval, which is like a PyTest like LLM eval thing, but that only works on transcripts. So it's like good enough because the voice stuff is obviously just like working off of transcripts, but it's still not ideal because it wouldn't pick up stuff like pronunciations, etc.
Makes a lot of sense. Never, that's like such a weird thing that I would not have thought about, but like how concurrency would be like a massive issue in like tests. It's just like that makes sense, I guess. Or extremely slow to run, I guess.
It's pretty annoying. It's pretty annoying for sure. But yeah, I mean, I can't even think about like how, I mean, I guess the best way to do it is just like not run as many concurrent tests and just have it run like nightly or something. But I don't, we still haven't gotten that figured out fully, but yeah, kind of on that same note too with like the second point, the like hard to reliably know how well conversations are doing, there's not really any benchmark that makes sense for like, I know DeepGram tried to make one called like the VAQI, like VAQI, but it's, I think voice is like one of those things that is really hard to figure out like logical benchmarks. So that also makes it hard because it's not like it's very non-trivial to make benchmarks that actually align with human preference with voice.
Yeah, I think I was surprised when I was reading about some of the way they develop. I don't know if I said this to you already, but like reading about how they were doing, like how they actually create the models, and like a lot of it, like it is a gold standard, right? To actually just ask like humans, like, do you prefer this, or like,
Yeah,
would you
exactly.
rate this out of 10? Like how this
Yeah.
voice sounds, how natural is
Yeah.
it? Yeah.
Yeah. And it turns out that like humans don't agree with each other on those preference benchmarks like over 50% of the time. So there's a research paper. I forgot how long it was kind of a while ago, like a few months ago, but it was saying that like using an LLM as an evaluator is actually more consistent with human preference than a human like guessing if that would line up with human preference. So like an AI is more likely to agree with a human preference in a lot of domains rather than like two humans seeing if they agree with each other.
So like the kind of it's closer to the mean or whatever, like
Yeah,
less,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Which is like really funny to think about, but I guess like there's a lot of difference in human preference and these sort of things. Yeah.
wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm not sure like that. He's that guy, the like the vibes guy that was like that producer. Anyway,
Wait,
going
what?
off tangent. There's that meme where there's that producer that's got like the good taste. I can't remember his name, like the guy with the big beard
Oh,
and
Rick.
the
Oh,
big room.
It's like, what do you contribute? And he's like, absolutely nothing. Like,
Unless you have, unless you find that human.
That's so funny.
Okay, wait. So what, so I think, so we've got your, so your number one is evals. What
Yeah.
would you say is your number two problem, pain, number two pain?
Yeah. I mean, like as a company or just like in the voice stack specifically?
Well, kind of curious on the company if you think it could be relevant on the, but yeah.
I mean, I guess this is like super specific to the industry, like the car dealership industry, but onboarding customers and like the customer relations aspect of like how car dealerships work is really difficult to get right. Like we basically need a dedicated like forward deployed engineer for every dealership, and like relationship building is so important. Because we were kind of like toying around with the idea of making a voice agent that would just onboard customers, because our onboarding process is like very long, like months long. And there's just a lot of back and forth between like our team and the dealership. So we were toying around with an idea of just making a voice agent that would speed up the onboarding process, but they just like really do not want to onboard that way. And so it's really hard to like kind of hit a flywheel where we're like automatically onboarding people where they can just like sign up and just like go. It's there's still like a super slow customer onboarding process. So it's not really clear like how to best do that, except just like hiring more people. But yeah, I think we'll definitely have to figure something out for that. But our competitors are in like the exact same boat with onboarding as well. So it's definitely not just like an us thing, but it's something I wouldn't have expected, because I would think that you could just build a voice agent or something like that that would just like collect some subset of or some set of information and it would just work. But yeah, it doesn't.
Interesting. Do you think there's any technology that could help you with onboarding?
I think like not on the voice side. I think most of it would just be like developing tooling that our customer service team can use, where like they can just click a button on the dashboard and it just like automatically like fills something out. Or I mean, maybe something that would take the transcript of a call and just like trigger some tooling to like fill in information from the transcript or something. But it's just like a hard problem, because there's so much back and forth with dealerships, and a lot of times like the dealerships don't know what systems they use, because like someone set it up like 30 years ago and those people left, so it's like they don't know what CRM they use, and it's like, okay, well, we kind of need that to move forward. But yeah, that's one of our bigger, I guess, like pain points. It's like a very manual process now.
I can definitely say you're not alone on that. I think this is something that we're hearing quite a lot, actually. And
Oh, really?
And
Interesting.
is it integrations? Is that part of it? Like you mentioned CRM,
Yeah, we have a lot of integrations. And every dealership has like obviously like different integrations, and so we integrate with all of them now, but it's just the dealerships. Like I was shocked, like so many dealerships just don't know like what technology they use, and so it's like we have to be like, okay, like this is how you check, and if it's over email, like that correspondence can take a very long time, just like going back and forth. So our strategy now is just like trying to get on a call with them like as quickly as possible, and just doing everything over a call where you can just like bang out everything in like the shortest number of call sessions as possible, because the email stuff takes like so long to like every single time something has to be done over email, you just like it takes a minimum of a week or two. So it's for like even simple things. So, yeah, but it would be nice if we could have like ultra realistic voice agents that that like literally are indistinguishable from humans, but I think that would kind of solve a lot of our issues here.
Yeah, that's the challenge here. It feels like there's
Yeah.
it's a lot of human challenges. I don't know, and
Yeah.
that's yeah, but interesting. Very, very interesting. If you had to say a number three, would you have a sort of a number three in mind? Number three problem, pain.
I mean, most of them are like smaller things. There's like a lot of small things, I'd say. I wouldn't say there's like any huge problems that, I mean, the LLM would be one thing. Like Azure's OpenAI endpoints are just getting like slammed, and we're seeing time to first tokens of like 3 seconds sometimes. So I built like an LLM gateway that can just like route responses using a load balancer. So if any requests are taking like a while, it'll just like start routing requests elsewhere to like the lowest latency endpoints. But each LM has like different little quirks. So Gemini, it'll, I mean, there each one has like super small quirks about it that make it so it's like technically compatible, but you still have to do more work. So like with Gemini, what was the issue with Gemini? Oh yeah, it was just like a function call to like return inventory. Like someone would ask, hey, do you have like any Kia Souls in stock? And it would run the inventory tool call, and it would get like a bunch of information. And let's say like there is a Kia Soul in stock, and it's like a 2024 or whatever. Then it would just say like 2024 Kia Soul, and it's just like not a human like way of talking, and there's no real way to know that it would like it's just super random, but it's just like something that you have to prompt away like. Like make sure to, I don't know, like basically like talk like a human. But there's so many little quirks that you'd think that just making a load balancer and just like distributing traffic would just work because you'd think that all LLMs respond like about the same, but there's actually a lot of variation in how like each type of LM responds, and each one has like its own sort of tone that may or may not be what you're looking for in your agent. So it's kind of hard.
So like seems like you could just swap them out, but you actually can't do
Yeah,
that.
yeah,
You've
yeah.
got to
Yeah,
solve all their
exactly.
specific quirks.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of companies that make these like LLM gateways, like White LM, like a lot of these things have popped up, but it's like it's a really good idea, but like at the end of the day, I think there it for sure speeds up the process a lot, but there's still like some small details that like always have to be custom.
That is super interesting.
Yeah.
It's a
It's
fun time, just all this stuff
yeah,
and figuring
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Just quickly, Nathan, if I could ask you like to describe like so we've got the pains. What would be like the sorry, we've got these pains, like
Yep.
your pains. So I guess just the first two really. If you had to describe like what the gain would be from like evals, if you were like waving, you know, going back to that kind of like magic wand, and you were describing what like your number one gain would be like, how would you describe that? Like if you were
Yeah.
telling your
So like
mind
describing the
or
gain
whatever.
associated with evals. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is just like knowing before the customers that something's gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with the time to first token, like, I mean, the time to first token is actually like a really easy example because you can just have like a rolling average of that. But with some of the voice things, like, if I don't know, like, your voice is just 25% of the time pronouncing a dealership name wrong. It's due to like some update that 11 Labs pushed out. Then we, in an ideal world, we would know that before we start getting complaints about it. So we can have it fixed and we don't get mad customers saying that like this thing's pronouncing my dealership's name wrong. Which happens more than you'd think, but just generally, there's a lot of problems with that sort of thing. Like integrations will sometimes just fail, tool calls will fail, and if there's an underlying issue, we always just want to know before a customer either like figures out about it or before a customer complains to us. Because right now, like our process is basically just like waiting for a customer to complain. And then if we happen to get an alert from like an uptime alert or something, like then I mean we might be able to fix it, but it's not the way to run a business. I'll tell you that.
Relate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then also for the same for the onboarding, if you I mean, I guess we
Yeah.
didn't talk about what this might be, but like
Yeah, for
if there
sure.
was a magical product, like what would
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely just reducing the number of days to onboard someone is like the main thing. So, I mean, like in an ideal world, someone would just have like a self-serve product because you, it's really hard to scale things when you have to work on a one-on-one correspondence with a dealership and it's taking like 60 days to start collecting payment. And it's just like a lot of stress on our customer support team, having to like have that one-on-one sort of thing where I think like to scale anything, it kind of has to be like somewhat self-serve. If you're trying to get to more than like a couple hundred customers, you just can't manually onboard people.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, that's amazing. And are you happy with this order again? Number one evals, number two onboarding.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, I think that's good.
Amazing. I think we're coming towards the end, so I don't sort of don't want to go down the rabbit hole and end up going talking for over time, but this is extremely helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, really, really appreciate it. Yeah, we're just like, if you're happy to still chat in like another month, we're gonna start to like kind of get your feedback on like how we're thinking about things, and I think we need to start talking about some of these challenges as well internally, because some of them keep coming up again and again.
Yeah.
And by the way, just as an aside, I think you're like really good at like describing challenges, and also just like even just like what's the gain here? You're just like, yeah, let me go. Like, whereas like, yeah, I don't know, you're just very sharp on that. So
Thank you. Yeah.
just we're doing a lot of these, so definitely that's not normal. Like, you know, you're smart, dude.
Thanks.
So yeah, just to say thank you again for your time, and yeah, it's so such an amazing thing to just hear, because you're so obviously right at the cutting edge of this, and to just hear your the things that you're struggling with is like so interesting.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Nathan, and look forward to chatting again in a month if
Yeah,
unless you have another
likewise.
question.
Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Appreciate it,
You
Nathan.
too.
Thank
See you
you.
later,
Till
man.
later. Bye.